Everybody, welcome back to today's episode of The Gaming Issue. So, as you all know, a lot has happened in the United States of America right now, but we're still going to do our best to bring you guys all of our additions, all of our issues. So, as you guys can probably see, today I have two guests, not just the normal one. So, I'm going to have them go ahead and introduce themselves, starting with you.
It's your boy, Quincy Skillion. Yeah, brand new, first show.
All right. What's up, y'all? It's N. Burnsy, Matthew Burns.
All righty. So, hey, Quincy, Matthew, I don't know if you guys been following, but as you all know, yesterday was Inauguration Day, right? Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Lord President Donald Trump. They put him in office and he hit us with a slew of executive orders. Now, all of you all are probably thinking to yourselves, what the hell does this got to do with gaming? Well, check it out. Anything that has to do with anything in America has to do with gaming, especially nowadays. So I don't know if y'all know, Elon Musk is a huge gamer. And for all intents and purposes, I think he's running the show. I ain't gonna hold you. I really think he running the show.
I mean, I even heard that he's getting like his own office in there.
Own office in the White House. Yeah. Department of Government. Yeah. His own office. So It just occurred to me, like, just because of that, there's going to be a lot of ways that gaming ties into politics. And for those that don't know, politics have been trying to get a hold of the gaming industry for about 4 or 5 years now. When they started opening up new chambers of commerce, basically to regulate esports and esports assets and income. Look, FaZe Clan was making too much money. It got to the point where it was like, hey, these people is making money off of this.
Right.
They're getting rich.
Yeah, I've been seeing it. I mean, I've been seeing like a lot of stuff. So like any game that has like failed in the past, so say like Suicide Squad, for example, I'd be seeing like a lot of like political stuff in the comments.
Yeah.
Saying, like, oh, it's because it was woke, it was DEI, like that. I mean, I was just like, dang, I didn't really think it was too much politics in video games.
Yeah.
Until I seen comments like that.
Well, it's shocking because there's going to be anywhere there's some income, you're going to throw in politics.
Real estate.
It just is what it is. It's like we always got to figure out how to tax something and how to make money off something.
Right.
And I feel like with all the slew of executive orders coming in, right now we don't have to worry about it. But 2-3 years down the line, I feel like somewhere along the way, they're going to be like, you know, why don't we start making video games? I mean, we got our Trump meme coin now. So I don't know if you guys seen that. Trump dropped the meme coin. So now you have that digital currency. You already had Trump this, Trump that, Trump everything. Why not have Trump in video games?
All right, man. I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of that, but I will say, I feel like Trump coming into office, his administration as a whole, sports, gaming, gambling would definitely be more noticed compared to the Biden administration.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm about to say, I mean, because at this point, gaming, I mean, ever since COVID, it was kind of like more, I mean, it spiked up more.
Mm-hmm.
It's making more revenue than movies, music. So, I mean, you got people who are professional gamers eating off of that. You got like the streamers like Constantnet, like Elden Ring. Right. He's getting like, you know, subscriptions, you know, and just playing Elden Ring and Minecraft with like I Show Speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a lot of different avenues that people are, you know, are kind of eating like off different games. It's not just one game. It's just like, you know, you got Overwatch.
Yeah.
I mean, even with like Marvel Rivals, Call of Duty.
Best game in the world, Marvel Rivals.
Yeah. There's a lot of options.
Is a lot. And what's crazy is that during, so COVID happened during the first Trump administration. So that's when everything started kicking up, but they weren't able to do anything about it because by the time it started really bringing in that income, it was time for the Biden administration. And now these people got huge. Like you mentioned Kai Cenat wasn't really that big during COVID, but he really started rimming up because we were like, we got to watch this man. We got like, and now he's on top of the world. And during our last stream, for those of you that watched our last stream, we were like, I guarantee you, Kai Cenat's gonna make an appearance in Grand Theft Auto 6.
Six, right?
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I mean, so many people just like, I don't know if you knew, but it's like certain like NPCs kind of had like Tyler the Creator.
He's
a cameo. Like I never like seen him. I mean, or heard him in game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but I've seen like a lot of like other cameos and stuff coming on to. Even with like GTA Online and stuff, like you have like the Dr. Dre expansion.
Oh yeah,
yep. Call of Duty as well. Oh, yeah. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, 21 Savage. Like, right. I mean, you even see like NBA players kind of getting in like a coin.
It's gonna be everywhere, man. And I can't wait for either the Elon or Trump scam because I guarantee it's gonna be coming in Kai. Mm-hmm. And I mean, on top of that, we also mentioned like Drewski. Like if Drewski doesn't make an appearance in GTA 6, I'm gonna be upset.
No, yeah.
I would say, he's gonna come in on the funniest moment. Like we're gonna be robbing a store or something. Drewski's gonna walk in on his phone and be like, I ain't see shit.
Like
when it comes to being on comedy, like Drewski obviously takes the cake. And when it comes to being the number one streamer, like we got to give Kai Cenat his roses.
For sure.
And that brings me to some, I don't know if y'all heard. So Drake listed a bunch of streamers in his lawsuit to UMG.
Yeah, I seen that.
Wow. Yeah. He listed a bunch, RDC, Kai Cenat.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of,
yeah,
like.
I'm trying to think of like other names, but I mean, it was a lot of names. Like a lot of them been like really upset.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more like, okay, if they wasn't, you know, like striked or whatever, you know, with like copyright.
Correct.
I feel like Drake, you're just being a sore loser at this point.
They would,
you know, some of his distances out there, you know, shouting out, like, I think he shouted out Kai Cenat by name.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. He was like, these rappers ain't, they're not making like the money like him. So, but now you go from that to, you know, you're over here, like, naming all of them by government, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, I don't really understand that standpoint.
And what's crazy to me is that, you know, Kai immediately replied with, but when it was your time, when your song dropped, you texted me and told me to stay on the stream so I could stream your song. Yeah. So why am I having to pick? Like, it's not about sides. It's like, and then it that's what made me kind of upset. You know, for those of y'all that don't know, man, I'm a huge Drake fan. But I was like, you bringing in niggas who was gonna do the review, whether they was getting paid or not, like whether it was copyright or not, they were still gonna do it. Like that's their, like Bilo and them, they always do that.
Mm-hmm.
They all, like, it doesn't matter if they getting paid to do it or not, or they getting copy. It doesn't matter. That's their job.
I mean, even then, it's just like, that's like with like the now, like how the generation is. It's not about just, you know, promoting your music.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, The Breakfast Club, you know, like the radio, stuff like that. Like you're supposed to have streamers kind of like promote your music. Because even when Glorilla was mad at Kai Cenat, you know, it was just like she was thinking like, oh, I'm a rapper, I'm bigger than him. Then, you know, he had all those people kind of like, oh, like she's lame, her song's black and stuff like that. And then, you know, she was giving Kai Cenat, you know, like a few phone calls, like behind the scenes, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of had to apologize.
And that's why they came up with that post where they told rappers, like, don't beef with streamers.
Yeah, their fans are crazy. They're going to come for you in your comments, wherever it is. But I feel like beef in general, when it comes to streamers and artists, don't even be a thing, you know. But
it doesn't make too much sense because it's like you said, streamers' fans are crazy. Like, you got to understand how dedicated to someone you got to be if you send them $500 just for them to say hi to you on stream.
Right.
Yeah. And I think RDC just made a video about that. Yeah.
What?
He was like, did this just see you $1,000 and say what's up? He said, yeah, they do that all the time. He was like,
that's
like real cool. Yeah. It's like, rappers had the, and that was the whole controversy where they was like, it's streaming harder than a 9-to-5. And they got all the, like Uncle Shannon got all these people together and was like, it's streaming harder. And they was like, no, if anybody said that, because if I got to sit down and all, and you want me to give you, you going to send me 2,000, 3,000 just to say what's up or hi or drop your name or tell people that you my number one fan.
Yeah.
Rappers really got to get up on stage, jump around, make music, right. Do all this. Like,
that takes time.
Dangerous. I mean, on top of them having like those donations and subscriptions, they also have like endorsements.
Yeah.
Certain companies.
Uh-huh.
So you also have that bag too.
Yeah. And that's a good bag because it means that not only are you do you only have to do so much, it's like all I got to do is say, man, I really mess with Nike. Like, look at these Nikes. Boom, they just gave me 100,000.
Right.
Rappers don't really get like that until they're at the top of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, for a rapper to get a shoe, there are not a lot. Drake, Travis Scott. Kanye.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I mean, Tyler has his own brand, Golf LaFleur. Yeah. But for people to get endorsements, it was like you had to be on top.
Right.
Like you, no one else could be better than you.
And like these different streaming services, YouTube, Kick, Twitch, like there's multiple chances for endorsements and such, you know? So.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's all political because everybody, like I remember one of the things they were saying was like with the streamers, and this goes into gaming and politics, they shouted out, like Trump got on stage and shouted out so many streamers. And they were like, why is Trump shouting out streamers? And that's because streamers were getting on there and saying, I'm voting for Trump. And everybody was like, me too. Like, it was as simple as that. And then, you know, Kamala Harris came out and said, she came out on Fortnite, but she also said the reason why our administration didn't do so well when it came to the election was that we didn't have a lot of Democratic or liberal, like, streamers. We don't have the talk show hosts, the podcast people. We don't have those people that are saying, oh, you know, we're pro-blue. It's like, nah, because... For one, it's a money thing. Like, I don't care if I like you or don't like you. If you say, look, bro, I'm about to give you $1 million if you just say something cool about me on stream. Fuck it, bro.
Like, take it, right.
$1 million.
All about the money.
That's all it is. Just drop my name on stream and I'm going to give you $1 million. I might F around and say, I don't like this guy.
Right.
what did Greedo say? I'm about to do a song with someone I don't like. He think we cool, but he ain't making home tonight. Yeah. I be like, yeah, give me my million. I name dropped you. And it's as simple as, because any pub is good pub. Whether I say I hate you or I like you, people are going to start tweeting. People are going to start saying your name. People are going to get in comments to argue with me about why you Messiah. And I need to go die. Like, that's it's as simple as that, man.
Yeah.
But moving on to our next topic, because obviously, like, we've reached 2025. We've reached the quarter century. So at this point in the game, even though, like, for me and this dude, we're probably getting old out here, but we're getting to a point where how advanced can a console get?
Man, one thing I will say, I'm an Xbox person, so for me, VR. It's something I want Xbox to implement at some point, as well as, you know, expanding on their Xbox Game Pass, having better games. Because I definitely feel like now PlayStation, you know, is topping Xbox, in my opinion.
In certain aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, my thing with that is just, like, for every console and stuff, it's getting to a point of, like, a diminishing return, basically. You know what I mean? If you see the jump from this generation from last isn't that big. It's more about, like, frame rate, you know, like, in 4K, you know, so, like, you know, how clear it is. But, you know, like, I remember as a kid, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm kind of showing my age from PS2 to PS3, you know, like elementary school. I was just like, you know, you playing 2K on PS2, you know, like, I mean, they look like robots characters, like, you know, damn
right.
PS3, you know, you see like the pores and the skin. I mean, like, you see them sweating and stuff. You see like the holes in their jerseys and stuff. It's kind of that jump. You know, PS3 to PS4, it was also kind of, you know, like a bigger jump. But from PS5, I mean, from PS4 to PS5, it was just like, yeah. I mean, it's slightly better.
Yeah, I get that. And to your point, yeah. For as far as gameplay though, I feel like Sony's definitely taking a W. The only issue is that Microsoft really changed their strategy drastically. They said, look, if we can't beat you guys within gameplay, we'll just beat you guys within games. Like, they started buying everything. It got crazy. It got to a point where we was like, oh, you know, Microsoft buying freaking Minecraft. Okay, it's easy. And then it was like, oh, no, they brought Mojang. The people don't even remember that no more because Minecraft has now owned, like, Microsoft has owned Minecraft so long, but it used to be Mojang Studios. And then they said, all right, that's not enough.
They pulled like a Disney.
They brought Lionhead Studios. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, we're jumping up. Like, okay, now we're gonna buy Bethesda and ZeniMax. Yeah. So then we was like, oh, they own like Skyrim and Oblivion and all that Fallout now. And they said, we're not done. They said, they hit us with that. I understand it now. They said, we're going to go for Activision. I remember when the whole world said, we cannot let Microsoft acquire Activision. Like, they were going through courts. Like, they can't do this. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. Stuff like that. We're trying to get them.
They said, they can't do this. Like, they can't do this. Like, they already, like, and it was like, wow. Like, who said we can't? Like, who decided that? Yeah. So then they went ahead. Not only did they get it cleared, they was like, look, now we own everything. Because they brought Activision, which means that what? They own World of Warcraft. They own Call of Duty. They own all the Blizzard Entertainment. Yeah, Clash, Diablo.
Diablo, yep.
They own it all. And then it was funny because they were telling PlayStation, don't worry, we're going to still let you have access to those games. Like, we're not going to do nothing crazy. And then, boom, all this stuff started dropping. PlayStation's like, why can't we play it? Oh, you remember that time when y'all had every game as an exclusive?
Yeah.
We're gonna make some money real quick. And then they said, guess what? Now we're going to release Halo. Like, for the first time in forever. Like, they said, they're talking about releasing Halo.
Yeah, I've been seeing those rumors. I've been seeing those.
To PlayStation. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's different.
I've been growing up on Xbox, too. I don't really think it's a bad thing. I mean, it's just, like, you want to increase, your pool of, like, potential buyers and stuff like that. Like, why limit yourself to one console?
Especially how big Halo is, I think that wouldn't be a great idea. Or it would be a great idea.
Man, fuck that. I'm a hater.
Because I'm a hater.
I remember Halo was so intertwined with Xbox, they made the Xbox look like Halo or made Halo look like the Xbox. Like, Master Chief's whole design was based off the original Xbox. The whole thing. And it was like, that used to be the war. Like, y'all had, like, we had Halo, and then who the hell did PlayStation have? Like, they had their own exclusive.
Sly Cooper. They had Ratchet and Clank. Jack and Daxter.
God of War. Yeah, we had Halo. Halo was us. Halo. War. People would buy the Xbox just so that they didn't get, like, barred from playing Halo. Mm. And I remember it used to be so bad that Bungie, because now Bungie used to make Halo for my young people that are watching. Bungie Studio, like, it wasn't 343. Bungie used to make Halo. And when Bungie said, we're breaking off and we're going to go start our own project, Destiny, and it's going to be available to PlayStation and Xbox. We were like, fuck those traitors.
It was a crazy thought. I mean, then the fact that, they was even being published by Activision. And they was in direct competition with Activision because, they own Call of Duty.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And here's my point, though. Here's why I don't mind Halo being, a multi-platform title. Because Call of Duty ended up becoming more popular because it was on everything, you had it on DS, Wii U, Wii, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So it's just everywhere.
Everything.
It's on mobile
phone, too. Yeah. About to say.
Like, with Halo, it's just on Xbox.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. Yeah. Because Halo, and I'll give that, because Halo is one of those things where I see longevity, but I also see it dying. Mm. The last Halo was a very short game. Multiplayer, there's a lot of people that kind of come and go from it. But Halo had become one of those things where it was like, we get it when we get it. It would never be one of those groundbreaking releases. Like, whenever they released a God of War, it was groundbreaking. We knew that it was going to be contending for Game of the Year. But I remember when Halo Infinite came out, it got some nods, but nobody was coming out of there like, this is going to be Game of the Year. This is going to be Game of the Year. And maybe that's a lack of creativity, right? Because there, you can only do so much with Halo, right? You can only do so much with the Halo universe. COD, you can throw it anywhere. I remember they say, we're going to have COD in the past, we're going to have COD in the present, we're going to have COD in the future. But Halo, it's just, we've been in the past. We know it's back there. We know the flood's back there. We're not going back there. And so we just keep on trying to, what makes it hard, because they're going to have to keep on giving us new content. They're going to have to keep progressing it. More future. What's the story? And I feel like we're waiting on people to write books so they can pull it from the books and say, all right, we're going to throw that in the story. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Takes time, man. It takes time. But you said you wanted to see Xbox VR. Yes. And I think Xbox is going to be real skeptical when it comes to VR. The reason I think Xbox is going to be skeptical with VR was because Xbox, y'all remember Kinect? Xbox?
Yes.
When Xbox dropped the Kinect, everybody was like, whoa, like crazy. Like, they were dropping Kinect-based games. But then when you got the motherfucker, it was like, this is very limited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gimmick. So it's just like on a 360, it's like everybody, kind of like just bought into the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when like the Xbox One came around. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I mean, at first, you know, the original Xbox One bundle, it was like, it forced you to get the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of like pissed a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when it became optional to nobody, you know, of course they didn't buy it. Cause it was like, you know, for me once, you know, shame on you, right. Stuff like that.
Which I think even games, I mean, newer games aren't even compatible with that. Yeah, I'm about to say.
Won't even work. And what was fucked up was that they dropped the Kinect because they don't ever want to follow and copy what PlayStation's doing. So PlayStation dropped PlayStation VR and they said, we're going to drop Xbox Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when somebody's dropping VR, making people move, like with the Kinect,
yes,
it's not going to, because I remember like one of the first games was like Skyrim VR. I was like, bro,
yeah.
And then they said, oh, we're going to get you Skyrim Kinect. Skyrim Kinect. I want to be able to put on a headset and be like, oh, I'm in this motherfucker. But if you give me the Kinect sticks, because the Kinect sticks, like, it's the reason why we failed.
Mm-hmm.
It did get to, the whole thing was we're going to make you more active, right? And at the time, the American people were cool with that. Like, it depended on what came out, right? It depended mm-hmm. on what game came out. I remember one of the big ones was Michael Jackson. This is yeah, it. Like, yeah. the Michael Jackson, that thing.
Yeah, no.
The experience,
yeah.
It was more like of like the Just Dance and like the gimmicks and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just like a certain like casual group that was buying mm-hmm. just like a whole bunch of those games.
And I remember like there was some gems in there. Like there was some games with Sora. I'd be like, whoa, Wii's dope. But it was very limited in what it could do. And that's like, it's one reason why we really never got like a Wii 2.
Mm.
It was a thing where it was like.
Well, like the Wii U failed, basically.
Wii U failed. Because Nintendo said, we're going to do a whole shift. And like, it's very hard to scrap a console. It's very hard to say this console is never going to have any more longevity. But Nintendo is usually the corporation that says, look, we're not going to stick with a console. Nintendo 64, we're done with you. Nintendo GameCube, we're done with you. Nintendo DS, we're done with you. Like, Nintendo goes through consoles.
Yes. They be going through it.
It's always just a thing. Like I was really surprised after, like I thought the Switch OLED.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah, Switch 2.
Yeah, I thought the Switch OLED was gonna be it. I thought it was just gonna be it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they were really gonna go through with the Switch 2.
Yeah.
I mean, like that leaked so much, it was just like, you know, go ahead and just do like, you know, a little shadow drop. And, you know, he go. I was like, damn, like that was no big announcement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He just on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it dropped.
Yeah, but see, let me ask you a question. What do the Wii? I mean, do the Nintendo Switches stand up to the expectations of modern day consoles?
In my opinion, well, I mean, I haven't seen the specs on the Switch 2, mm-hmm. but you know, speaking from the standpoint, like I own like a Switch 1
mm-hmm.
at home, you know, no, but it's just more of like the convenience, you know, you can play certain exactly. games, you know, on an airplane, you know, like in like the back of a taxi mm-hmm. or like Uber or something like that, you know, in theory. You know, you can play it, you know, at the beach. It's just more of like that convenience.
Portable,
just,
right.
Yeah,
PSP exactly. for such. And I think the only difference in this Switch 2 and 1 is, I guess, the screen size and the joysticks, which I mean, and I don't have a Switch, so I mean,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. I guess speaking from experience from having a portable console, like I was saying, the PSP, the convenience of being able to travel it with you is probably the only thing that's good about it, you know. And the games as well on there, they aren't beating PlayStation or Xbox in my opinion.
See, that's the thing, you know, it's just like they have some games that are simple. Yeah, it's just like, you know, they're proven, you know. So like Mario Kart, Smash Bros.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of people end up buying Pokemon too. I mean, like Pokemon is a system seller. I mean, that's why mm-hmm. you know, like Game Boy was, you know, as successful as it was, while the mm-hmm. DS was as successful. I mean, you can look up like the numbers on Pokemon. I mean, do you have like the more niche titles, like say like Samus and like Donkey Kong and stuff uh-huh. like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I do agree with you when it comes to like the third party support.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that great.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like, you know, I don't know if you had a Switch or not. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you play Apex Legends on a Switch, it looks terrible.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It was like 520p or something like that.
I mean, or even before that.
Like, he used to play Mario Kart on Switch back in the bar, remember?
No, but I'm saying I was playing like Apex Legends.
I tried it because
it was like free to play and stuff. So It was like the frame rate, it was like 20 frames a second or something. No, I was just like, no. I was just getting swept. And I was like, no, let me go ahead. But it was just the gimmick of I can play this, you know, on a plane, on, mm-hmm. like Wi-Fi and stuff like that.
Yeah. My thing with it is, even with the dock, you're right, it still only runs at like native, probably like it may get to 30, even when you dock it. But it's when you dock it, it's really like I don't want to shit on them. But all you're really doing is hooking it up to an HDMI adapter. Sure, like it isn't making it any better. Like it doesn't boost the native bit. Like it's a wider screen, yes, but it doesn't, like the graphics are not really boosted. It just projects it onto the screen. And I hope that maybe the two find some way to actually incorporate the technology of whatever system you're docking it to. But the problem with it is, and you all can hate me for saying this, the VR headsets are getting to a point where they're getting so advanced that, I mean, I can take that anywhere. Mm. I can like, you've seen the new Apple. Yeah, you can walk around in the street. You can have that on the plane. You can throw that, watch movies on it, everything. Yeah. And I tried watching movies on the Switch. I promise you, man, I'd rather pull out this iPhone and be like, okay, because it does what it's supposed to do. I get it. Mm-hmm. And handhelds, yes, is going to be the number one handheld console ever, because nowadays nobody else is producing a handheld console. Nobody's dropping a PSP. Nobody's dropping. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really. The Steam Deck, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say the Steam Deck. I was like, see, I don't know the specs on the Switch 2, but I was like, hopefully it's strong. You know, I'm going to go home and, you know, like, actually, like, do like a little bit more, like, you know, research on it. But the Steam Deck and just like, you know, any other, you know, handheld PC, it's just like you can play Left 4 Dead 2 with like mods, anything, you know, on the plane. Like I keep saying this, like, it's just as portable, but it's just like twice as powerful.
Right. I mean, yes, it's expensive. But now, after seeing the price tag of the Switch 2, I'm like, are you going to be able to actually stand up to the Steam Deck? Mm-hmm. If you're going to really be dropping those price tags, now you're going to add Steam Deck as a competition, and it's a portable. Like, all that Nintendo succeeds at is saying, you need our consoles to play our games.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
If you want Mario, come to us. Yeah. If you want Pokemon, got to come through us. You want Zelda, got to come through us.
That's all the leverage is, the first part.
And like you said, Pokemon fan base is so hardcore that they're like, yeah, we're gonna get it because we want to play Pokemon. But my thing is we've seen Power Worlds, we've seen the open world Pocket Monster style games. Now we've seen them put on PC, we've seen them put on consoles.
True.
Now they're gonna have to really compete with people now seeing that come with that concept, seeing that come to reality. And that was like their whole thing of trying to bury Power Worlds, was because we were like, well, why isn't Pokemon coming to PC? Why isn't Pokemon coming to, you know, PlayStation? If we're gonna, I get it. If you want to keep things Japan, keep it Japan. Like, have a partnership with Sony where it's like, hey, we're gonna actually drop a PlayStation. You know, because I remember you used to be able to play Pokemon games on GameCube. Mm-hmm. There were GameCube Pokemon games.
Yeah.
And they were cool. You like, there was a Pokemon game where you would fight the shadow versions of other Pokemon. So like the cover was Shadow Lugia. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one too that's a big one, but no, this one is called something else. Pokemon Coliseum was huge too, because it also gave us that idea where it was like, because I remember how long it took to be able to see our Pokemon use attacks in actual 3D. It used to just be like you'd have your Pokemon, you press the attack button, all you would see is the animation where it just step like this, and then then with the 3D mods, they said, oh no, we can actually, like, yeah, I don't know if he played it on like 3DS or played it on Switch, where it's like, now you have it a whole 3D render, he's actually attacking. That would be so much more powerful on a standard console or a PC. And I feel like we're gonna have to start having that expectation for Nintendo, because if this Switch 2 flops, there's not much for them to fall back on.
I'm about to say, they're going to die out at some point, I think.
I mean, I would say if it flops, I feel like they would try to do what they did after, like, the Wii U. Mm-hmm. It was like that weird in-between period. So they was, like, releasing, there was, like, a Mario, like, Infinite. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was called Mario Run. It was, like, on, like, the App Store.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's kind of, like, Flappy Bird in a way. It's like he runs endlessly, but you just, like, tap it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah, they also have Animal Crossing. I've seen a Pokemon game. I've never played it up there. So I mean, I'm pretty sure like Nintendo's been trying to like dabble in like that mobile market. I mean, if the Switch 2 was somehow to flop, I could see them, you know, trying to like dip back into that market.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna have to. But they dominate Asian markets.
Yes,
that's the big thing right now, is that they dominate Asian markets. Mm-hmm. What they're over there, like Sony and PlayStation, you're not really seeing too much Xbox. Mm-hmm. You're not really seeing too much Xbox. And just from, you know, being within this esports community and, you know, having some of our people out in Korea right now, it's not something that is huge over there, Xbox. You usually, like, for our fighting games, for our Dragon Balls, for our Tekkens, for our Street Fighters, people are plugging them up into PlayStations and they're using fight sticks. Mm-hmm. When you go to these tournaments, it's all PlayStations. It's all PS4s, PS5s, and PCs. Like, you get, mm-hmm. you pick your poison, but in reality, it's just a bunch of PS5s, and they say, hook up your fight stick, let's play some Tekken, let's play some Street Fighter. And or it's going to be Naruto Shippuden or Dragon Ball, which, you know, sit at a lower bracket, but you don't see the Xbox players too much. And I think that was a problem that me and Quincy were facing when we first got Sparking Zero, was that
yeah. this is nobody. You're sitting in the lobby for 10 minutes. I don't know if it was a server issue or like the first 2 weeks.
It's nobody.
Because they didn't do crossplay. So if there was no one on PlayStation or like, if there was no one, like everybody was on PlayStation and PC. So when it came time for us to fight in Xbox,
everybody was just cheating.
Like you, yeah. it would just be, you would wait 10 minutes. You would be in the lobby for 10 or more minutes waiting for a matchup. And by the time you got a matchup, you usually got matched up with the hardest person that I've been waiting
Instinct,
for,
like, so
older right. instant dude, where he was like, bro, like, I do this all day. Like, I wait 10, 20 hours to just face people, and I've been waiting for you. Like,
it didn't really make sense. I mean, because, like, they're both, you know, under, like, the publisher of Bandai Namco. So, mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, Dragon Ball and Tekken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Tekken's crossplay. That's basically what I'm
exactly,
trying to
exactly.
So, why wouldn't you guys, like, why would you implement crossplay in Tekken, but not in Dragon Ball? So it's kind of like, you know, you're just hurting the, like, you know, all of your, like, your platforms, like player base, you know, kind of like, you know, having them like segregated in a way.
It's money, man. It's money. And I realized how big Tekken and Street Fighter was when I finally went to a convention and seen it and seen a tournament. Like every major streamer, I don't care if it's like RDC, every major gaming streamer, like if it's going to be if we're talking RDC, if we're talking like Afro Senju, like if we're talking Caleb City, you know, we're just naming black ones. But for every major one, they all play Tekken.
Tekken, yeah.
They all play Street Fighter. Because when you go to these conventions and you see it on that big screen, people were standing up, standing a round of applause, seeing people pull off moves and pull off combinations. Because it's huge and you make a lot of money off of it. Mm-hmm. Because over there in the Asian markets, it's huge. It's huge. Like they got, it's League, Tekken, Street Fighter, like that. Like that's where we're running. And it's massive. Smash 2. Because if you can, because once you get to that certain level, I've seen people pull up crazy things where I'll be like, there's no way. Like I've seen somebody fight a whole match on one health. And win.
Yeah.
It's all those people like they kind of like master like this kind of like jump canceling, you know, like dashing mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Like they keep you in the air for like 10. I mean, if I have you in like a 20 string combo damn near, just like, you know, to smack you off the
screen. I know to break out.
That's all they do.
I know to break out. And I knew like I haven't played Sparking in so long, but I knew that I was getting to a certain level when I'd be facing lower level players and I'd be like, hey, bro, like, I'd be wanting to send a message, but hey, bro, like you gotta run that combo a little bit longer, or you like I'm luring you into grapples. You're not blocking. You're not really blocking.
Right.
I mean, you would see it. You would, once you get good, you know who's bad. Like you know, you
no,
know
exactly. No, exactly. Right.
If you know who's bad, and I was like, look, man, like you, this fight isn't even interesting. And then they'll get mad at you and be like, oh, you're using this character, that character, like you said, the Ultra Instinct, or oh, you're using Gogeta, or oh man, you're using Majin Buu. And I'd be like, this isn't even my main. But I'd be like, I'd have to tell people because I use Beerus or I use Ultra Instinct, and I'd be like, look, these aren't even my main. If I really pull out Buu, we really gonna be cracking. I'm just out doing this thing for fun. And they'll be like, oh, okay, nobody would ever listen. But it's more so about, like you said, the combo locks, getting people on walls. There's a strategy to it, and it switches up. The reason, so Street Fighter and Tekken, the reason why they're different and why people play it is, of course, Tekken is 2D. Tekken is on a 2D playing field. Mm-hmm. So yes, 3D rendered characters, but you're only going, but you're side scrolling. Yeah, with Tekken is in 3D. Mm-hmm. And it took me a minute to realize that because
you could sidestep
into a different frame, like into a different side of the mid, like all the way around the thing. And I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard for me to learn Tekken because I was like, okay, like, no, I wasn't used to somebody like sidestepped and entered that area and I was getting hit from the side. And I was like, like, bro, it's 2D. They're like, no, bro, like, it's real life. We in the octagon. We in the ring. Like, it's octagon.
That's funny. I was fighting with, like, it was Laws. It was me, Laws, Mike, and David. And mm-hmm. I was just winning. It was just, like, on, like, a rotation. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, like, a Tekken pro or anything like that, but it was just, like, I had, like, the fundamentals down, so... If they was getting their ultimates and stuff like that, like I know if somebody trying to spam me, all you do is block and then, you know, just grab. But they couldn't really understand it. So I got to a point where I was like, hey, don't spam it out immediately because I'm expecting you to do that.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's kind of like just what I want from the future of gaming. Yeah. If we're talking about the future of the gaming industry, I would want more games because I feel like gaming started to die to a certain point where it was like, there's not too many games where people come together, like across borders. Like if we're talking about an age where politics are now trying to separate us, gaming really has to be that glue because that's just what it was. Like I see all these things on Reels now and then, TikTok is coming back, but for a little bit, it was RIP TikTok, but you would be like, it'd be like, man,
yeah, I understand that.
It'd be like, what's one hobby where you can get on and connect with anybody in the world and not do anything that's, you know, illegal, immoral, or unethical? And it's like, oh, gaming. You could.
Black Ops 6, man. So much.
This is going to make me sound ignorant, but I didn't really conceptualize time. If it wasn't for gaming, my concept of time zones would be, like, really low. Because, you know, you'll get on games and you'll play with somebody in Australia or you'll play with somebody in, like, England. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, you'd be like, man, oh, yeah, it's like 6 p.m. here. 6 p.m.?
Yeah. Right in the morning.
They'd be like, whoa. They'd be like, oh, man, it's almost like, man, it's just a little past midnight. What? What are you talking about? Past midnight. They'd be like, yeah. And, you know, I remember, like, some of my, I can't even say bestest friends because it was on the side of the world. But some people that I was really connected with and cool with in games be like, oh, bro, I'm living in England. I'd be like, oh, shoot, like, you live in England? Like, it's crazy. Like, yeah. I ain't seen Top Boy yet, so I ain't really hit him with all the time. But I was like, that's crazy, man. What's, like,
Top Boy.
All hail Queen Elizabeth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, thanks.
Oh, man, let me hit this thing. Let me see if I can get this. There we go. Yeah. But, man. I just want great games to come out this year. Mm-hmm. 2025, I feel like we didn't really get a lot of good games. 2024, my bad. Yeah, 2024, we didn't really get a lot of good games. Mm-hmm. And I can tell, no hating to Astrobot. I love you, Astrobot. But Astrobot won Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. It was swinging punches.
And here's my thing. I feel like that was more politics because I feel like, you know, usually stuff that wins Game of the Year, you know, it kind of like, it, you know, it sets a trend in the industry. Yeah. But Astrobot, you know, I think it's a great game and stuff. I mean, I haven't played it personally, but just based on how it looks and stuff like that, it's just, I feel like, what did they didn't really innovate nothing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I was like, you know, Nintendo 64, you know, had, you know, like Banjo-Kazooie, you know, had Donkey Kong 64, I mean, and Mario 64, you know, GameCube had, you know, what was it called? Like Mario Sunshine.
Oh yeah.
And then like the Wii had Mario Galaxy. Then like, you know, moving on to the Switch, you know, it had Mario Odyssey. So I feel like, you know, as far as 3D platformers, what did Astrobot do that was like brand new, never, you know, it was like never seen in the industry.
It didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. It was like you said, it was politics. Because remember, their controversy before Game of the Year was like, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree can't win as a DLC. But it was nominated. Mm-hmm. And they were like, a DLC hasn't won since Witcher 3 Blood and Wine or whatever that one was. And it was like, we can't have it win. Like a DLC cannot win Game of the Year, but nothing was really coming out that year. Nothing was swinging. So they said, we need to fit the nominee billets.
Yeah.
So they were throwing in Astro, like the whole nomination, Astrobot, Shadow of the Erdtree. One game that I liked that I was surprised didn't make the nominations was Warhammer 40K. Like that, they dropped Space Marine 2.
No, that was a good game.
Yeah. They made like a lot of noise when it came out. stuff like that. I mean, you know, a lot of people is like, oh, just like, you know, reminds us of like the golden age of like PS3 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you had like your single player, your co-op, and like, you know, your versus multiplayer. Right, so you know, it had like a lot of like replay mm-hmm. like value and stuff like yeah. that. Like a lot of games don't have that. It's just more like, you know, a one and done story mm-hmm. or just like, you know, a live service.
Yeah. Well, what are some games that y'all are looking for here in 2025?
Man, college football 26, definitely, which I think they delayed it till 2026, but GTA 6, of course,
mm-hmm.
Ghost of Tsushima is having a sequel, I believe.
Yeah, yes, sir, it is.
That's all I can.
And Ghost of Tsushima was one of those things that broke ground. It, mm-hmm. it was yeah. Ghost of Tsushima, because Ghost of Tsushima was great. And I'm glad it did win Game of the Year, for those that don't know. It did win its year. And Ghost of Tsushima made it shined the light on the expectation of where graphics can actually go. Mm-hmm. The narrative storyline, where it's like, we're going to provide you with a super, like a linear story, but the graphics are going to be so great that it almost brought me back to when I first played Skyrim. They first took that, like they took that blindfold off when you were on the wagon, and then you actually got to see. Like you were like, damn.
Yeah.
I was like, is this 2013? Because I had played Oblivion just 2 years prior, right? I had played Oblivion just 2 years prior, and I was playing games of the time period. And I remember when I first came out to like Riverwood, and I seen the wall, I was like, no fucking way, dude. And because this was 360.
Mm-hmm.
This was 360. It was pushing, like, of course, it was like the Slim 360 Black, whatever the hell you want to call it. But it was pushing it to its limit, and you got to see, whoa, what the fuck have I been playing?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened with Ghost of Tsushima. And a lot of people compared it to Sekiro, but I don't like when people compare From Software games to anything, especially when it comes to graphics. Because From Software does a lot of, I don't know if people like, what the word is now, but they add a lot of drab and darkness. They make mm-hmm. it very dark core.
Yes.
Which takes away from the graphics because everything looks miserable.
Yeah.
Like, it's purposely everything. Like, in a good way. Like, everything looks like, damn, bro. Like, it's.
They have a lot of good games, but I mean, but like, From Software, you know, I would be fair. Like, they do, like, they reuse a lot of assets from mm-hmm. like Dark Souls and stuff.
Yeah.
And reuse it in like Elden Ring. I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I did. Like the rats look the same.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and some of like the crabs, I mean, you probably think like, oh, it's so petty. But I mean, like, yeah.
It was,
a lot of stuff is like reused. I mean, it looks better, you know, like marginally, mm-hmm. but yeah, they reuse a lot of assets. Even I'm about to say, as far as games that I'm looking forward to, like the Elden Ring,
Nightreign.
Nightreign. They're using a lot of bosses. So I've seen like Nameless King.
Oh yeah, he did come back. King.
Like they really using them. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm still confident, but
I'm definitely. And I don't know. Have you played Dark Souls?
No, I haven't.
Okay, look, man. When you go home tonight, download. It's pretty cheap now. Download. I started at Dark Souls 3. Okay. He got me into Dark Souls. I immediately jumped into Dark Souls 3 and didn't go back until I had did Dark Souls 3. He played Elden Ring, though.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, Dark Souls, because the Nameless King was the boss. Mm-hmm. Like, you would beat the whole game just to go fight the Nameless. Like, you had to. Because
mm-hmm.
I used to think bosses were hard, right? But then I walked in on the Nameless King, and Quincy was here when I said, bro, you can't beat this nigga. Like, the Nameless King boss fight was so hard, he would come in on a fucking dragon. He would come in on a dragon.
Nah, hell no.
You beat the dragon, and then, bro, like, you get him down to zero health. Then he'd hop off that motherfucker, look at his best friend just died. He'd be like, Vicky! He'd hop on that dude, and then he'd turn around and look at you, and before you know, this nigga started flying.
He started flying.
If you can fly on your own, like on your own accord, like bro would hit you with a move where he would levitate. He'd like come up with the wind and then zist this way. So he'd hit you from the side.
No.
And what I didn't realize was that when you had to go back and fight General Radigan, whatever his name is, in the Shadow of the Erdtree DLC, whatever his name is, he was stealing Radahn. He was stolen. One of his moves was a stolen asset from the Nameless King, where he'd fade, come around, and smack you on the side. So, and it was super hard to block. Mm-hmm. But the Nameless King would do that just with lightning. He he'd zits up in lightning and then come like this, where he'd almost spin around and smack you. And that was the hardest boss fight I've ever fought. General, that, like, Reborn, I was crying, bro. Like, I had to buy every cheese. Every cheese. But I look forward to I do look forward to that one. And people are saying it's going to flop. They're saying it's not going to be like any other From Software game. Why would they make a From Software game with, what is it, 3 or 4 player co-op?
I believe it's 3 player
co-op. With 3 player co-op and actually have it keep your freaking progress. Well, the issue with the other ones was I'd go into your server and help you out, but it would not forward my progress in Elden Ring. Yeah. Like, you go to my server, help me out. It get nerfed too. But with this one, we're kind of all nerfed, but there's 3 of us. And let's go throw hands. Like, it can't. It's new.
Right.
It's new. Mm-hmm. It's a new take on playing. I don't know. I forgot what genre they, like, hardcore RPG, whatever genre they call it, where we know it's going to be hard, but now we get to experience it together.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like a lot of people don't even know that, like, From Software games are multiplayer. Like, they kind of, like, I mean, or if they do, they really don't know how to, like, access it. I mean, because it's not like a simple, you know, you just, you know, send like a party invite to your friend, you know, and you link up. You know, you have to have like different like little items and, you know, to summon each other.
You have to make way, you know. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, me and you playing like Dark Souls, we already kind of knew what to do on Elden Ring and stuff like that. I mean, we'll see.
Another thing I'm looking forward to, any more DLCs from Diablo, Path of Exiles, which is, it's, like, if you're a fan of Diablo, a lot of people in that genre know Path of Exiles. Right now, they're in game preview. What's crazy is we already mentioned Elon Musk. Elon Musk is one of the number one players in the Path of Exile game preview right now. And he's also, like, one of the top 10 players in the Diablo 4 in the world. Reason being is it's a dungeon runner. Like, you go in there, you keep fighting. You really keep fighting until something kills you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, there's progression, but games like this are, like, they bring you more back to the standard RPG, what you think of the old school RPG where you got in, you created a character, and you just dungeon ran. There's no, like, narrative. There's no action orientation where, because action RPGs are really what you see nowadays when you do that. Like, you make a character, and then they send you on this adventure, or it's like action adventure, go. But back in the day, it was like the RPG came from, like, old school Dungeons and Dragons. Tabletop, you make your way around the dungeon, you find the treasure at the end, congratulations, you got it, you beat the boss. And that's what Path of Exiles and Diablo, so it helps you concentrate because you can sink hours.
Yeah,
hours. I gave my life to Diablo 3. I'm just happy it gave it back.
Yeah, I've never played it personally, but I mean, I played a game that was like that, but it was just because it was just like the theme of it, you know, kind of like resonates me more. It was like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance. So, I mean, I played 1-3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it was simplified and stuff, but, you know, you can be, like, you know, the Avengers, I know, I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, third one and stuff like that, and, like, the Fantastic Four and stuff like that. So, it was just more streamlined and easier for me to get into. I mean, but I can see, but me playing those games, I can understand, you know, how people play Diablo, but I've never hopped into Diablo.
It is one of, go ahead.
I don't know if are you all fans of I believe there's a remake. Oh, Final Fantasy. This will be a rebirth coming this year. Are you all familiar with that?
Man, Final Fantasy. Look, fuck, this is gone for our sponsors. Final Fantasy was what got me into accepting PlayStation. I remember playing Final Fantasy IV, right? That's kind of like when I got into it. And let me make sure this is right, because I could be wrong, because they dropped so many Final Fantasies.
Yes.
And I'm at an age where I played a good bit of them. Like, I played a good bit of Final Fantasies, and the only reason why I wanted to keep a PlayStation around was because Final Fantasy would basically keep me going. Yeah. So Final Fantasy IV got me into it, but no, that's not the one that got me into it on PlayStation. That's what kind of got me into it on, like, old school PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I think it was F5. Yeah, and it got me into it because I remember when they finally decided that they were going to make Final Fantasy kind of what it is now, where they would add in the narratives, and it used to make Final Fantasy would make you fall in love with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's And that's where its specialty lies. Because you can't really fall in love like Ragnarok, like it, God of War Ragnarok.
Yes.
God of War makes you fall in love with the characters. Yeah, so. Final Fantasy made you fall in love with the characters and then took everything from you. And no, like
The Walking Dead.
Like the most recent one where you would play the prince, right? You were born into this kingdom. I forgot which number that was, but you were born into this kingdom and then right there, damn, dad, dead. Mm. Okay, yeah. What was that? Final Fantasy 10. I think that was a big one for me. Yes, Final Fantasy 10 got me into Final Fantasy and kept me. And I was like, dude, like, because we went on this adventure, people started dying, we were meeting cool people, those cool people would like die, and then I'd be like, dang, everybody's dying. And it made me so sad, but it made me happy. Because once you got to the end of the adventure, sometimes they'd even kill you. Like, you get to the end of the adventure where your character just dies, and it's like, damn, bro, we died. But it was a hell of a ride.
Right, yeah.
It was a hell of a ride. And so, yeah, I do look forward. I know they're going to do remakes, but what I'm looking forward to, because they just dropped one that they added into the series, but of course it didn't come out on Xbox, and that was Final Fantasy, what was this one? Final Fantasy 16. And that dropped June of 2023, and then they released the Windows version in September of 2024. But what I want to see come back this year is Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about that. Like, I'm more familiar with those games.
Similar.
I know it's a spinoff and stuff, but it's just, you know, having, like, those Disney characters. You know, I was a kid and stuff, you know, like, it was Pirates of the Caribbean, stuff like that.
And we're playing at church.
Huge. And it was one of those rated E games that never felt like it was like soulless. Like, some rated E games feel like they're really just made for the mentality of a child. Oh, yeah. Kingdom Hearts really made me focus.
Really,
and
you challenges.
Since the last Kingdom Hearts, I think they only made two. Like, it was Kingdom Hearts 2. Did they make a Kingdom Hearts 3?
No, it was 3.
The Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, so it's 3 of them, but it's 3 main ones, and it's like a whole bunch of like...
Yeah, like spinoffs in between.
Like a 1.5, stuff like that.
But the Disney universe has gotten so big. This was prior to Disney incorporating Star Wars, Marvel. Like, all of these things are now Disney.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Disney now, and 21st Century Fox. Family Guy is now Disney.
Mm.
Yeah.
Family Guy is now Disney. Like, so it's like... A Kingdom Hearts, a modern day Kingdom Hearts.
That'd be fire. That would be fire.
Avengers, imagine like a Stewie Griffin boss battle. Where like,
yeah, I'm about to say, no, yeah.
Like, bro, like,
they do that. I'm sure they do. I mean,
like, seriously.
You had, you know,
yeah,
Pia Griffin in there.
Everybody in it. They're all in it. So I'm like, why did I? It's one of those things where I was like, it couldn't have died. It should have never died. It should have never been like, we can stop making Kingdom Hearts now. Kingdom Hearts should have been one of those things that continued on just like Final Fantasy. But I get it. Disney had hit a roadblock where they were like, we can only add so much. We've already added in all these adventures. We've already mixed in all these movies. But look, now they got Pixar. Now they got like DreamWorks. Like, we're at a period where now we own the Inside Out. We own Shrek. We own the Zootopia universe. We own all these freaking universes in Disney. And I'm like, bro, where are we at? Like,
you know, Disney Infinity.
Where is Kingdom Hearts? Where are our key? Like, you can have all of these guardians. You can have all these key holders now. Like,
yep.
I swear, like, you could have Peter Griffin as you got Bart Simpson possessing it. Oh, like, you could have. Like,
yeah. That'd be fire.
The hardest nigga that could ever come in Kingdom Hearts. Like, when you see Mickey, you know who's like, Yeah, man. It was a solid trip, but you was like, dang, bro, like, if Mickey came on, it was like, bro, we about to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, we got all these people now. We got Marvel. So I'm like, dude, man, you can dream.
Only, yeah, I'm about to say. Sure.
You can dream, man. But look, I'm just saying, I feel like 2025 is going to be a peculiar year for gaming, because...
I guess in addition to that, more games I would want to see are decision-based games.
Oh.
Like The Quarry, you know, The Walking Dead, just regardless of the title. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of those kind of games, so.
Are we supposed to get a Fable this year?
I don't know if it's this year. I mean, I know sometime soon. Yeah, because I was thinking about Fate when you said, you know, action RPG stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I don't, for anybody who hasn't played those games, you know, you can choose to be, you know, like any hero, or like a hero. I mean, like the story ends up, it ends the same ultimately, but, you know, you can choose to be like a little bit more bad, you know, or pure hearted. We also can have kids and stuff like that up there. You know, you can kind of like buy up all of like the real estate too. I mean, it's, so like, as far as you
say,
like,
yeah,
it's a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. And, like, decisions you can make mm-hmm. in that game.
One big decision-based game that I really want to see come back out is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, whether they're doing an action game or they're doing action RPG, because I know they're coming out with something. But okay. And I've seen this on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Force Unleashed was probably the biggest decision-based like Star Wars game that they've ever dropped. You could really decide, I'm going to be a straight menace and have the consequences. Yeah. Or be like, I'm going to be a good guy and deal with that issue. Like, but it was like,
he was a bad guy. Like, you had like the lightning powers, you can force choke and stuff like that. I mean, I felt like you had like a lot more cool, like, you know, in like OP skills, powers and stuff. You know, he chose to be bad.
He went nuts, but then at the end, he'd be like, he would kill his shorty. He like it went nuts, but like a lot of y'all forget that at the end, he'd kill his shorty. So it was like, bro, you dealt with the, like, you went evil, but you still dealt with the consequences of those evil decisions. But that's why, I mean, Lucas Games and Lucas, like, they're just dropped their new Indiana Jones game. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that Lucas Games are coming back, because that Indiana Jones game actually hit hard. That was a really good game.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't played that yet.
Play it.
No, like,
I've been looking at it. I've been thinking about it. Game Pass and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like, you know, I'm a big TV movie fan. Like, I feel like more games based off of TV shows be more incorporated, like The Walking Dead. Like, I mean, maybe not, you know, not the story with Clementine, but something more, you know, you can create your own character, go into the world of The Walking Dead, or even Breaking Bad, you know, a game like that.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be nice.
Cool games like that, that based off of TV shows, I would definitely want to see that.
It needs to come back. And what I also want to see is an actual, like, not a remake, but I want to see something for the Resident Evil story. Like, we haven't had that since Resident Evil Village. And I feel like now we need a new Resident Evil game to kind of, like, keep us going. Because they can remake and remaster Resident Evil games and still get the same numbers. Because Resident Evil is one of those things that's timeless.
Yes.
And if they just continue doing the story, because Resident Evil is one of those things where I can never say I've been let down per se. Like, I've been somewhat disappointed, but I've never been like, this was terrible. Like, I've never been like, bro, like, I can't finish this. And
I agree with, like, anything that was, like, you know, main number title, I agree with that. You know, like, I have been, like, you know, slightly disappointed, but it was like, it's not terrible. But some of the spinoffs, yeah, that was
absolutely
some of the spinoffs, oh, like, that was it.
Like, oh, we just wanted to feed you.
Right. Resident Evil Biohazard, whoever that was.
Yeah.
There's one thing, I mean, I know they're trying to, like, go back to the roots of, like, you know, survival horror, you know, you being alone and afraid and stuff like that. But I feel like, you know, if they keep that first person aspect of it, but, you know, make it co-op, so, you know, it kind of can compete with, like, Outlast Trials.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like, you know, it wouldn't be as scary, but I feel like playing with your friends and stuff like that, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy. The Guardians of the Galaxy game was, the fact that that game didn't win Game of the Year when it came out, I mean, because it came out with a lot of good games, so I get it, but man,
that game was fire.
Like, I was like, I went in there laughing, like, oh, it isn't the Marvel Cinematic Universe copies of it. And then I left out the game, like, damn, I'm glad it wasn't the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, copies of it. I was like, dude.
See, it was just set up for failure, because, you know, with, like, the Marvel Avengers game that came out before, you know, it kind of looked
weak.
Like, it kind of looked like a similar universe where it was just based off the MCU, but it's just like everybody just looks like worse. It's just, like, you know, generic. So, I mean, I went into it thinking, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, some, like, live service.
BS. Yeah, live service.
I was like, okay, if Marvel Avengers is doing that, you know, it probably would be better, like, a lot more better.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like a lot of people are kind of struggling with. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, they start off with, like, you know, a nice single-player game, but then they might get pressured, you know, by, like, big, like, publishers and stuff like that, you know, to, like, make something, like, live service, you know, so they can, like, profit in, like, the long run.
And I feel like that kind of leads us into a good conclusion topic. Live service is dying. And because Borderlands is also supposed to come out this year.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
The looter shooter and live service games are dying.
Yeah.
And the only game that was really keeping it going was Destiny. They were the only ones to, like, really make it so look, we're going to do live service. We're going to do looter shooter and kind of keep the player base. Like, they had a really loyal and firm player base. But as you all know, they recently released their last expansion. It's done. Like, they're still supporting the game, but no more expansions. Mm. And that's because the end of the, like, the idea was started with Borderlands. Borderlands was one of the first, one of the original looter shooter games.
It's true. I mean, and I would say, you know, like, before we end, just with Destiny 2, it's kind of facing, like, a problem that, like, you know, the MCU had after, you know, Endgame. It's just like, okay, they want to continue, but, like, a lot of people feel like, you know, it was a 10-year, like, you know, like, story that's, you know, has came to, like, a conclusion. Like, the Witness is dead now, you know, you beat him, you know, he was kind of like Thanos, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, build up and foreshadow, stuff like that. It's just like, so how can you build up for, like, another 10 years?
I don't think it can happen, because you beat the darkness. You beat the big bad. You beat the big bad.
What's left? That's what I'm saying.
And if anything, the only way Destiny can continue going now is if it starts going into prequels. We don't know what the world was like, you know, in the Golden Age. But they were fighting wars. We don't know what it was like expanding to those, like, when they were starting to first meet the Cabal, when they first met the Fallen. Like, I'd even like a game where they take us to the Fallen's universe, because they had the Traveler first and seen what their, whatever the lore is, where they said, like, the great storm that wiped away their whole civilization and made them become the Fallen and nomadic. Like,
more like scavengers.
Because they, our time with the Guardians, I understand, is, like, over. I knew that when the voice actor Zavala died, I was like, okay. Like, what is Lance Reddick? I was like, we've been here so long that people are dying that voice these characters. Destiny, like, and I will tell you this right now, like, I felt really sad. I almost felt the emptiness when they said that this is going to be the last expansion of Destiny 2, because I've been playing Destiny so long. And
2014,
man, it's middle school. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I, like, pre-ordered it, and I was playing, like, the beta of 360. You know, it was just like that field of view was so squished in, frame rates like 30 frames. I was like, man, but I mean, it has came a long way, man. But like, just like the magic, you know, like you said, just of like a looter shooter. It wasn't my first, because I did play Borderlands first, but it's just like, it had like that Bungie touch to it. So it was like the perfect love child between Halo and Borderlands.
And like, do you think Borderlands, the new Borderlands, is actually gonna, like?
I mean, look, I hope for the best. I'm gonna buy it. Y'all gonna buy it?
I'm gonna get it on sale.
Yeah.
I kind of got burnt with Borderlands 3.
Borderlands 3.
Like, I bought that, you know, like, day one, and I was like, shit, it's not Borderlands 2. Like, I feel like Borderlands is kind of in a thing where it's just Borderlands 2 has set a bar. I mean, not gameplay wise, because obviously, you know, like, it didn't have, like, sliding and management. I'm saying, like, story wise and, like, the comedy, it wasn't corny. Like, you know, it was Handsome Jack was, like, the perfect villain of, like, you know, on Borderlands 2. I feel like Tyreen and, like, you know, her twin brother, I forgot his name, on Borderlands 3, it was kind of like, you know, they're forcing this.
They're being fake bad. And I knew the fan base for Borderlands was, like, done when they dropped the movie, and the movie flopped hard.
Yeah,
they had an all-star cast, and the fan base still didn't get the fuck up and say, "All right, I'm gonna go support." Because the one, like, when I was watching the Game Awards and I seen the Borderlands trailer, I said, "Who asked for this?" Like, when I seen the trailer, I thought we were done here.
It's not that
the same way about the Minecraft trailer.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. Some games just need to be left at games.
It was a Minecraft trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bro, they have Black Jack and Steve.
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
Minecraft.
I forgot. Did that already come out? Oh, not yet.
It's Jack Black. I said,
who
Black
asked for that, bro? Like, nobody. It goes back to who asked for this. And
he's coming up with stuff at this point.
Like, just to be like, the game like movies, the game TV shows, and that all started with The Witcher. We all know that. The Witcher, when they made The Witcher, like, that Witcher movie or Witcher TV show on Netflix, everybody just scrambled. Like, we need to have. And there's only been eight, like, HBO and Amazon have only done it right. With what is it? The Last of Us?
Yep, on
HBO and Fallout. They're the only two to have, to, in my opinion, do it right. Where they say, we're going to get the game developers here and we're going to actually figure this shit out.
As far as like live action, yeah, I do agree.
The Last of Us, that was a good show.
Animated wise, I feel like, you know, a new like Mario movie, well, like, I don't know if it came out a year or two ago. Like, you know, that was pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, then, I haven't seen Sonic and Shadow. I mean, I've heard good things. I've seen the first two. I mean, I feel like, you know, they've been doing numbers and stuff, you know, like introducing Sonic to like a whole new generation of kids.
Yeah. And it, I guess, yeah, for as far like straight, like going to a theater movie, Sonic is probably like leading the way in my opinion. Because, I mean, they got three. There's three of them now. And they got enough attention to be like, we're going to get Idris Elba in two, and then we're going to get Keanu Reeves in three. And they, like, you know, if you can get both Idris Elba and Keanu Reeves together, you either have a lot of money or it's very successful. Because I remember when Idris Elba came on to Cyberpunk 2077. It's a brilliant, put them together. Like, because I used to think Keanu Reeves, Johnny Silverhand, I was like, that supercharged me for 2077. I was like, bro, Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
And then it was like, damn, like this motherfucker is like a rock star. And then when I see in the only DLC expansion, when I see Idris Elba just sitting there at the diner, I was like, Idris? Like, I was like, man, because it wasn't even like they gave him a character. They just said, hop in this motherfucker and play yourself. Because I swear it was wire Idris Elba I was playing on his Cyberpunk. Like, he was treating me like we was down to the wire. I was like, bro, like, what are they going to kill him? I was like, I know they're going to kill him. Man, they ain't kill him. But I was like, bro, like, oh, you could kill him. But I was like, bro, like, that's crazy. But hey, look, so we're going to wrap it up here, you guys. I just want to go ahead and say, look, as our last episode title, if you guys are going to go and watch it, Village Esports, we're here for the community. And I'm going to keep on harping this. If you've seen the end of our last one, for those people that are on the West Coast, fighting these fires, our hearts go out to you. For those people that are on the east and down south that are just seeing their first snowstorms in decades, our heart goes out to you. And of course, continue to look at our social medias. Well, I got both of those. Continue to look at our social medias because we'll be dropping links down below for you to help those people out.
All right. Appreciate y'all, man.
All right. And we'll see what we're going to fix.